It's time for the Power Hour of Love, starring Charboil and
El Bandito. Welcome to the fiesta. Welcome to Charboil and El Bandito's Power Hour of Love. I'm your host, El Bandito. And it appears that Señor Boil is not in the studio yet today. He might be running a little bit late, which is actually kind of funny, because then we get to call and make fun of him and things. I think that would be a nice special treat for all you beautiful peoples out there tonight. So let's call and see if Señor Boil has maybe overslept, or if he's out with some beautiful women, or we can see what he's doing. So let's go ahead and give him a call, and let's find out where he's at tonight. He's always so prompt about being on the show on times and everything like this, and always giving me a hard time. And now, look, he's not even here. So let's go ahead. Let's give him a call, and let's find out where he's at.
Hello?
Hello, Señor Boil. This is El Bandito.
Hey, El Bandito. What's up, man?
Oh, nothing much. Are you a little bit late for being in the studio today?
I'm supposed to be in the studio today?
Yeah, it's Thursday night at 10 p.m.
Oh man, Power Hour. Oh man, El Bandito, man. I'm so sorry, man. I've completely forgotten about Power Hour.
Then you must be in the clutches of some beautiful women's, no?
Not exactly.
Oh, really? Well, what is it that you are doing?
I'm in Sarasota right now.
Sarasota? What are you doing over there?
I was coming over here just for a few days of rest and relaxation, but I'm playing this new video game, man. It's on my phone. It's called Pokemon.
What?
Yeah, Pokemon. Back in the day, Pokemon. This guy here, he's playing too, right next to me. He's saying that it's pronounced Pokemon Go.
Wait, I think I saw something about this in the news. It's like a big craze thing for little children and things.
Hey, man. It's not exactly for just the kids. Let me tell you, back in the day, playing Dungeons and Dragons and all that stuff. I used to pick on the kids who, played this Pokemon stuff. But, I got to tell you, man, I was sitting there and I was waiting to get my food at this restaurant. And I see these kids, playing this game. And same thing, I'd heard that, that this was, the new craze and stuff. So I was like, oh, what the hell, I'm going to give it a shot. It's a free download.
Okay.
If it's a free, I'm at least going to give it a try, So I download this thing. I have to tell you, El Bandito, I've been playing this shit nonstop for the last, 72 hours. Come to think of it, I was supposed to be back on our side of the state, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, man, all the Pokemans that you can get over here, are much better than the ones that, get back home or accordingly, It's what you do is, you walk around and, these things just pop up on the screen and, you go and you gotta catch them. And you catch them in these balls.
Hold on. Now slow down. So you use your balls to catch monsters in your phone?
Yeah. I've got lots of balls, man. you collect these balls from these different stops. Think about it things around town that everybody knows, statues and stuff like that. And then signs and fountains. You go and visit those things and you collect more balls and you collect potions and stuff, typical RPG things, revive if your thing
And you travel around on your phone, or you actually had to go to Sarasota for this?
You know, well, I mean, you can do it pretty much anywhere, but yeah, like I've been kind of, you know, really sucked in over here because there's like a lot of those like particular stops.
Oh, like landmarks and things.
Yeah, landmarks. You got it. So like, yeah, you know, you walk around like in real life, like, okay. You know, like you walk around and like these things like pop up on your phone. And you can catch them.
Oh, but so there's some. It's like a notification comes up on your phone that there's a monsters nearby or something.
Well, you have to have your you have to have the app up so like the thing actually alerts you. You know, but this thing's a battery killer too, man. I've already bought like two or three packs of batteries just so I can keep playing.
Wow, it must be good if you're spending money on it.
Well, that's the thing, though. It's like. You know, I think the trick is they want you to spend money in the game, but you really don't have to. You just gotta work on your skills, you know.
I feel very much the same way about call girls and prostitution, you know? Like sure you can pay for sex, but if you apply yourself, you can usually get it for free.
Yeah, give a little shot for free, a little shot. But yeah, like I gotta tell you, man, when I first started playing this thing, like, you know, it was like it told me I had to go to a gym, so I was like, "No, this game's an asshole." I didn't play it for a few minutes, and I saw some other kids playing it. And I was like, "All right, I gotta play it some more." And it was really funny because, like, I could tell these kids are like trying to get a particular monster, and like, I totally took it from them. And you know, they're like, "Hey, what happened to the doo-doo at you?" And I was like, "Ha ha ha, I got him." You know, and at one point, like, I'm sitting on a park bench, right, and there's like 20 kids come. Well, I shouldn't say kids. I mean, they're all ages, but mostly like probably the oldest one was probably like in his mid 20s or so.
Oh, okay. He's not really a kid at all.
Yeah, so they come marching by, and they're in this big gang of people, and they're obviously playing this game together, trying to find everything. And they're like, "Hey, this old metalhead guy over here needs a something something to chew," you know. And like, that kind of freaked me out a little bit because I was like, "How do they even know I'm playing?" You know, but supposedly, I guess they can kind of detect her. I haven't figured all that crap out, but like they let me join their little circle of people running around, and so I think I'm like a level 11 or something.
So you joined a Pokemon gang?
Yeah. It's literally a gang. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're gonna start, you know, criminally enforcing this that like no more than like, you know, six people can be running around. But yeah, we got a pretty solid gang over here.
Yeah, you know, like, you just passed your shit test, you just got recertified as a hero, man. You can't start running around with a gang.
But, you know, these guys are super cool. They bought me coffee and stuff. Like, wow. It's pretty cool, you know. Plus, like, you know, I've been able to get us to the real key spots, you know, because I grow bigger and, like, pick them up and take them to, like, spots that they usually couldn't get to. They'd have to, like, you know, walk miles and miles and stuff. So, yeah, it's been kind of crazy, man. But, yeah, I never envisioned myself playing the Pokemon game.
Well,
but
you mentioned that they have like Pikachus and things like this.
Yeah. He's in there. I haven't found one of those yet, but I know some people in this gang. So, you know, some of these cats are a lot better at this than I am. Yeah. I mean, it takes a little bit of skill too. Like when you find the things, you have to flick your finger across the thing to like catch the thing. So sometimes you could like run out of like your little balls that you're trying to catch them with, and you know. So there's.
I'm typically pretty good at flicking things with my finger and using my balls. So, you know, maybe I'd be pretty good at this game. I don't know. You know, and plus I like the Pikachu things. I remember I dated this beautiful woman one time, and she used to have this like nighttime pajama set thing.
Yeah.
It was like a little Pikachu thing, and I had the little Pikachu ears, and you know, not really much of a furry, but that was quite an interesting experience.
I gotta tell you, El Bandito, yeah, this thing's pretty addicting, though. It's like, you know, if you start hooking into this, make sure you've got, like, you know, pretty much a week of free time, because you're gonna be running around trying to collect all these damn things. And then, like, once you power them up, you do go to those gyms.
Okay.
Those are just, like, more public places, like, around.
So you,
like,
you do have to go to the gym to play this game.
In a sense, but they're not actual gyms. They're locations in the game, but it's augmented reality, so it goes along with the real world.
Okay.
And like when you find these gyms, you get to pick a team, one of three teams, and in the game, the teams will take over the gym, and then you want your team to take over the gym. If you can hold the gym for a certain amount of time, then you get the in-game money. that, you know, they want people to pay for.
Okay.
But yeah, like if you can hold the gym, you get it in game. So it's like,
okay,
you know,
so
they're really.
So these gangs get together and they battle at a gym.
Yes. Yeah. And usually like a certain number of people can hold down the gym, you know, while, you know, other people on other teams are coming and trying, and you have to be within a certain amount of feet of the gym. Like, you know, you couldn't be at your house and defending a gym and, Sarasota, but I believe if you do conquer the gym, you can leave one of your little monsters there, but most likely they're going to get overtaken by some, you know, other team's bigger monster.
So is that what you're doing? You're over there defending a gym?
Yeah, I've got like three or four right now. I think I'm more richer in this Pokemon game than I am at, in real life.
Well, then it sounds like you're doing quite well at this Pokemon's games.
Yeah, well, I'm doing well, except I forgot that, you know, Power Hour was tonight. I feel really bad, El Bandito.
Yeah, you should feel bad. I feel like you're standing me up now. Like, El Bandito never gets stood up, you know?
I'm telling you, man. I just didn't. I wasn't paying attention to the time. And, you know, I was always like, oh, I'm just going to catch this last one. Or I was going to go get, you know, get one more collection of the balls. And, like, I don't even remember the last time I've eaten.
Well, you know what they say, Senor Boyle. You got to catch them all.
This is true. I'm going to get them. I don't even know how to, half the time I don't even know what I'm doing in this game. Like if it wasn't for these other guys around here telling me like what I had to do, like I'd be completely lost, but you know, supposedly I'm doing pretty well. Either that or just using me for the transportation.
Well, either way, it sounds like you are linked up with a pretty good team there and it sounds like you're having a lot of fun. And I know from Sarasota, no matter how bigs you get, you won't be able to get back to the studio before the Power Hour is over. So I think that all of the beautiful people out there, all our wonderful listeners, they're just going to get a special treat of an extra long evening with El Bandito.
Well, I appreciate that, El Bandito. I know you're going to hold down the castle while I'm away, and I'll definitely finish up here and start making my way back so I don't miss the next Power Hour before I'm, you know, too wrapped up in this crazy game. You know, they've been saying there's a lot of stuff online and stuff where, you know, they say that this game, you know, has stuff with security and people could steal your stuff. But quite honestly, you know, you get so much stuff wrapped in Facebooks and all those other things that if anybody wants your information, they've already got it.
Yeah, but, and you know, if you can't grow 300 foot tall, it's pretty hard to fake your identity, Senor. So I think you're safe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're good. So what's our first musical break for the night?
Hey, isn't that your job to remember who's coming up next and what's going on?
This is true. Okay, we have the Pokemon theme song coming up.
No more Pokemons tonight. Instead, we have a very fitting track called Possessed from Mikey Cunningham and the Aftermath.
Oh, awesome.
And I think it's very fitting because it seems like you're quite possessed with this game, Senor Boyle.
You got it, El Bandito. And I've seen Mikey Cunningham and the Aftermath quite a few times, and they're a great act. So everyone enjoy it, and I'll catch you next time.
Here, therefore, and here, Satan, enemy of the faith. Give me your name, demon!
Names! Names! We'll be right back.
that was Mikey Cunningham and the Aftermath with their track Possessed. Now, Mikey Cunningham and the Aftermath are an instrumental rock band from Fort Pierce, Florida. So, you know, they're up there on the Treasure Coast. That's a nice little area there. And Mikey was completely self-taught as a guitarist. And I have to say that that is a quite an impressive feat, because El Bandito, he has tried to learn guitar himself. And it is quite difficult, you know, it's not something you can just pick up, and that is with lots of instruction. And, you know, nowadays they have a lot of these fancy plug-and-play devices that you plug into your computer, or you put into an Xbox, a PlayStation, and it helps for you to learn guitar. And I don't just mean Guitar Hero, you know, because I know a lot of you are thinking, oh yeah, we play Guitar Hero, that's nothing like a real guitar. But no, they have a lot of interactive games that you plug right into a guitar in the amplifier, you know, where you... It's like that quarter-inch cable where you plug in the amplifier. Instead, you're plugging that into some kind of USB thing, and I plug it. Anyways, I won't get too technical with it, but you get to play with your guitar, an actual guitar. You know, you can use a Fender or a Les Paul or something like this, and, you know, it plugs right into the game, and you can play from there. And you can tell it whether you have six strings at bass, you know, a 12-string guitar, whatever it is, and then you go from there, and it shows you how to actually progress through learning to play the guitar, from chords to slides to everything like this. And I can tell you, I played this for a number of years and never picked up learning the guitar, you know, so I just have no musical talent for it whatsoever. But for Mikey Cunningham to be a self-taught guitarist, I mean, that shows exceptional talent. You know, I tip my hat to him. He's quite a performer and quite a talented individual to be able to pick that up on his own. And, you know, if you've ever known a musician in your own life, then you've probably seen that they have this aptitude where they can pick up one musical instrument and segue right into the next one and learn it even more easily than the first. And as they move on, you will find that someone can play guitar, they can play bass, they can play the piano, they know how to play the flute, you know, they can play an oboe, they play, you know, this anything and everything that they can pick up and that makes noise, they can turn it into a musical instrument, you know, and that's a talent that some people have. And you can hone that skill, of course, and make it better, but for the most part, people who can just pick up anything and do this, they have a real talent for it. So my hat's off to them. I admire that quality and all of the wonderful performers that we play here on the Power Hour of Love, but especially a self-taught guitarist. That is quite a feat. So kudos to him. It also says here that his biggest influences are Van Halen. So, I mean, yeah, his heart was in the right place the whole time. So Mikey Cunningham and the Aftermath are currently playing shows all over Central Florida, so be sure to keep an ear out for them. And if we hear of any local shows that they'll be doing, you better believe that we're going to keep you posted. So with Senor Boyle gone, it kind of reminds me of the lid that you put on your soft drink. You know, when you buy a fountain drink at like a McDonald's or a fast food place or something like this, you know, they give you a little kind of wax paper cup and it has this little shitty lid that goes on top, and you know, you put your straw through it and everything, and that kind of keeps your drink from spilling and everything out of there. But really, it does a lot more for us than we realize. Because if you have ever had a soft drink without a lid on it, there's a particular thing that happens that you probably don't pay much attention to, but El Bandito notices. And it irritates me to the center of my heart of hearts. And what it is you'll be casually eating your meal and having a good time and be talking to the beautiful person that you're with. And you'll go to grab a sip of your drink and you want to maintain eye contact because you have just said something suave and romantical to this beautiful person that you're with. And you're reaching to take a seductive slurp from your tasty beverage and the straw pokes you right in the eyeball. And it's kind of embarrassing and you look kind of foolish now, and you know, maybe you can be a smooth person and turn that into a kind of funny situation that you laugh about later. But for the most part, it kind of sucks. You know, we're like, hey, fuck you, straw. Get out of my eyeball. You're supposed to be in my mouth. I know right where that straw was when I put it down. And why is it up here in my eyeballs now? Well, what happens is the straw actually floats in whatever liquid that we put it in. You know, unless you're drinking like a milkshake or something. But this is my hypothetical, so stick with me. All right. So you have the straw that's floating around inside of your drink. And it pokes you in the eyeball and makes you look foolish. Now, it doesn't always do that. And we take for granted the fact that that lid that we normally have on our cup, and we say, well, that's good, it keeps it from spilling, also keeps that straw in place. You know, it has that little four-way kind of cut tab thing that holds your straw there. It keeps it right where it's supposed to be. So for the most part, when we're taking sips from our drink, we know exactly where that straw is. We have that experience, you know? And today, here on the Power Hour, I am without my lid. Senor Boyle is gone, and now the straw is just free to fly around and poke us in the eyeballs and do all sorts of crazy things. So if you were the kind of adventurous person that doesn't mind catching it in the eyeball once in a while or, you know, taking a shot in the hair, well, then tonight's program is for you, because we really have no idea where we're going to go or where things are going to take us, as Senor Boyle is usually my, since he is usually my lid, he keeps me constrained, he keeps me restrained, and tonight it is just me, a microphone, and all of you beautiful peoples out there. So I'm going to take this opportunity to go off reservation, to not use any segments or not use any topics, and instead go directly to our email, read emails live on the air, and help all of you beautiful peoples out there in the ways that El Bandito is always aching to, by giving you the best love advice around, right here on the Power Hour of Love with Charboil and El Bandito. So make sure to send us emails. You can email me right now during the show at powerhouroflove@gmail.com, and I will be answering all the questions I can tonight while I'm on the air live. With that being said, let's go ahead and jump into our first email. Okay, first up, we have Ivan, who goes by the handle The Russian Menace, and he is sending us a message that says, I've been going out with my girlfriend for nearly 2 years. I can see myself marrying her someday. She's admitted to me in the past that she used to think I was too young and that she wouldn't be serious with me, but that I've proven her incorrect over times. She has said that she's done with school, has an associate's degree, blah, 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 and works full-time as a barista and manager at a corner coffee shop chain. He has a degree in science, and after saving for a whole year, he works as a substitute teacher and in a fast food restaurant. He has about $7,000 saved up. That's pretty good. That's nice. I could use $7,000. He says almost enough for 1 year of graduate studies at the local state school. He says they live together in a studio apartment, which is a tight fit, but enough space for now since it's big as far as studios go. She has a 12-year-old Chihuahua that lives with, wow, a 12-year-old Chihuahua. That's like an ancient dog. I mean, trust me, I know something about Chihuahuas, and, you know, they're too hyper. You know, they get all excited, and they're kind of like when you overclock a PC, you know, if you run it that hard and that fast, it just craps out on you after a while. So be careful with a 12-year-old Chihuahua, man. Says, recently the dog has developed intestinal problems and needs a really complicated surgery. Oh, see, okay, look, I'm like seeing the future of this email right here. So the vet told my girlfriend that the surgery and other related procedures would cost more than $6,000. After all was said and done. She doesn't have that kind of money. In fact, she lives mostly paycheck to paycheck and has no savings whatsoever. I don't even think she has $100 saved. So that's kind of a jab. You know, he didn't need to include that, you know. But okay, so she's shit with money. But she also managed to screw up her credit over the years. So she's terrible with money. Anyways, she told me I should pay for the dog's surgery using the cash I have saved for graduate school. I don't hate her dog and I don't love her dog either. I don't like the idea of using the money I saved and slaved to earn for a surgery on an already old dog that I'm not even that close to. She always called her dog, and never our dog. So she thinks I'm being selfish and that I'm betraying her. I told her to maybe ask her parents for the money, but she says that's not an option. Blah, blah, blah. It's just, the rest of this is just him complaining about whether or not he should do this. In the end, it says she's treating this as if it's some sort of test of my love for her. Am I wrong for being angry about this? Okay, Ivan, no, you are not wrong for being angry about this. You know, it is a 12-year-old Chihuahua, and listen, I understand. I know people who have had pets, and they become like children to them, and they love them very much, and it is hard to say goodbye or to let go or not do everything that you can do. But there is still only so much that can be done, so much that can be said. And one very important factor that's not listed in here is, what is the life expectancy of this dog? Are you talking about you're going to spend $6,000 so it can live another year? Or are you talking about you're going to spend $6,000 and it's going to live for 10 more years? You know, that's an important factor that is a piece of information that we're missing. But ultimately, I don't think a Chihuahua is living much past 12 years, no matter how you slice it. So yeah, it's a little bit inconsiderate to, you know, ask someone else to just front that money and not seeing the sensible side of this, that, you know, there's only so much you can do to extend the life of this poor dog. And the best thing to do is to keep the dog from suffering. You know, what's his life going to be like after this surgery? I mean, we it doesn't really include what the problem is. You know, is this something like he's going to have surgery? Well, wait, they did say a little bit. What was it here? Let's see. No, it just says intestinal problems. So yeah, that's not going away. You know, it's not like a broken leg that you can fix it and then the dog's going to be... No, this dog sounds pretty... Like he's in pretty bad shape. So I know exactly what Senior Boyle would say if he was here. Fuck that. Okay, just forget about it. I'm sorry. You have to be very supportive to her. But that's a hard decision on her part to say... Yes, I'm over it with my dog. Let's put him down, forget about it, whatever. But she really needs to be the bigger person here. And you're absolutely right by prefacing in the beginning of this letter that she calls you immature and says that you're too young because she's not taking a moment to be objective about her own dog. She's using her own personal feelings and imposing them on you. And to say that this is a test of your love or something, I mean, you didn't say it was a direct quote from her, but... You know, to even use it in that context is that's very immature. I don't like that. Not sure that this is, you know, maybe the best person for you to be considering marrying unless this situation gets resolved more amicably. Because you can't take your money for your school that's going to better your future and kind of throw it away on a lost cause, you know. So it's kind of like buying a money pit of a house. You know, you don't want to lose the house because it will really damage your credit over time. But if you keep just pouring money into it, you're going to have nothing to show for it one way or the other. And unfortunately, this poor Chihuahua, it may be time for him to run to the border of heaven and call it a good night. But we won't send this poor Chihuahua out without a very fitting song for him to bow out to. So for our next musical break, we will play Bony Fiend by Lazarus. Now that was an incredibly pumped up track from Lazarus entitled Bony Fiend. Now most people will probably be confused when I say that Lazarus is a horror punk band from Cocoa Beach, Florida, because they say in their song that Bony Fiend is the hottest band in the Tampa scene, but it's actually one band writing a song about another band that they like. So how cool is that? So Bony Fiend is originally from Tampa and they're kick-ass, and then they're so kick-ass that Lazarus, another kick-ass horror punk band, writes a song about how kick-ass they are. So typically, they perform this song live together during live shows. I mean, how awesome would that be, right? But most recently, Lazarus has opened for the legendary CJ Ramon of the Ramones, which is probably the most iconic punk band, or at least one of, in this humble radio star's opinion. You may have heard of them. I don't know. But I don't know about all you beautiful peoples, but for me, that song has got me pumped up, energized, and ready to jump right back into some more emails. So let's see what you guys got. Okay, so the next email here looks like it's from Claire, and she is from Jacksonville. Now, the subject line here says, "My boyfriend does not believe in compromise, and I'm slightly annoyed. What should I do?" And as I open it up here, I see this is an extremely long email. If you're going to email the Power Hour of Love, try to keep it to like 3 to 4 paragraphs tops. This is more like a short novella about the story of Claire and her asshole boyfriend. And I haven't read any of it, but I can assume from the subject line that he's an asshole and probably a douchebag. What does it mean he does not believe in compromise? I mean, that alone is like, yeah, fuck him, you know? That sounds terrible. Everybody has to give and take. That is what life is all about. You know, it is all about compromise, you know? Maybe he wants to watch mud wrestling on TV. Maybe you want to go to the opera, you know? Maybe he wants to have sexy, beautiful love times. And maybe you want to have ice cream in your pajamas and cry. You know, men and women are inherently different. Sometimes we have different needs and different things that we need to do at different times. And to not compromise and find that middle ground between both of you is just foolish. That's right off the bat, deal breaker, fuck this guy, move on to the next one, don't even bother with it. I'm not even going to read your email. Whatever it says, this guy's a douchebag, he sucks, break up with him and move on. That will be my advice regardless of whatever the next 2.5 pages includes. So thank you for being poignant in your subject line. Just try to do so in your email next time. Okay, the next email here comes from a gentleman whose name is Gary, and he goes by the modest handle Simply Legendary. He says, "Hey guys, you know, blah blah blah, long time listener. That's very nice, thank you. Anyways, I try to keep this short." Yes, you are on the good list, Gary. Okay, me, I'm 22 years old. I have a girlfriend who's 20. We have been dating for 3 years, and everything has been great and normal so far. We have date nights, we talk on the phone, we share interests and affection, and also have a normal sex life about 2 times a week. That's normal? That must be like normal for average. So I don't know if that means like there's a lot of people out there that are not having sex any times during the week. Because that seems very below average to me. But hey, it's different for everyone. But it's nice that you include that. I like that he puts that in parentheses just off to the side, like he's bragging almost. So simply legendary, Gary. Thank you. So it says, "I've recently come back from a 10-day cruise that I went on with my family. And during that time, we were not able to communicate as much as we would have liked. As there was no service or Wi-Fi. The cruise was around Alaska." Ooh, Alaska. Big shout out to Steve Rogers and Bucky in Alaska. You guys are the best. He says, "I was able to send emails as they had a free service for that, but I could not receive any incoming emails or anything like this. I sent her a couple of updates about what I was doing and there, and it was a shame that I couldn't get the same from her end, but I trust her. I came back from the cruise last night, and of course the first thing we do is see each other. Everything is normal. We reconnect and share stories and have a great time after not seeing each other for a week. I ask her what she's been up to while I was away, and she says she hung out with some friends and chilled. I also asked her if she did anything that I wouldn't have liked while I was gone, and she convincingly said she didn't. I believed her." Okay, this is only about halfway through, so first of all, you said it was going to be short, Gary. What the fuck? But also, what does this mean? You said, I asked her if she did anything that I wouldn't have liked while I was gone, and she convincingly said she didn't. I believed her. That's like, it doesn't sound like you guys have a normal sort of trusting relationship when within minutes of seeing each other after only a week apart, 10 days, that the first thing you think is like, "Hey, did you fuck around on me while I was gone?" You know, that doesn't sound like the great foundation for a relationship if that comes out kind of seemingly out of nowhere at the first time that you've seen her again. It's not looking good so far, Gary. He goes on to say, after a while, she had to go upstairs to get something, and her phone goes off. It was a Facebook message from her ex. I know of him, but never met him. Keep in mind, they broke up about 5 years ago. Okay, so she was 15. All right. And it says, thank you for seeing me. It was great spending time with each other. Let's do it again. And at this point, I'm like, shit, this can be. So I can't help but look through her phone. Yeah, yeah, I know this is wrong looking at the circumstances. I just had to. No, you did not just have to. That's none of your fucking business, man. Stay out of her phone. You know, I can't stress that enough, that there are crazy women out there who are always trying to look into your phone and jump up your ass all the time whenever you're doing anything. And if you don't trust your partner, leave them. That is not a good relationship. That is not a good feeling. You can't walk around on eggshells and tiptoe the rest of your life. If you don't feel like you can walk up to your partner and say, hey, man, something going on, and that they will not tell you the truth, how is that a good relationship in any scope? You know, so it is just my opinion, not a good way to found your relationship. Okay. And so you're subscribing to the adage that two wrongs do make a right. And that's not the case, but let's continue on and let's see what he found. Okay. I found that they had messaged each other a lot, and which only started after the cruise that I went on. I could only read a couple of messages as she came back down and snatched her phone back. I asked her why she didn't tell me about them hanging out or even mention they talked, and she said that she didn't want to start a fight. We are already at the point in the relationship where we tell each other everything and we have a general understanding of boundaries, so WTF. I politely asked her if I could read the rest of the messages, and she said no. Yeah, because you could have probably done that the first time, but instead you wanted to be sneaking around, and now, of course, she's going to be like, no. I tried to grab the phone from her, but she fought back really hard. And why would you even ask that? Don't ask someone to look through their... Okay. I tried to grab the phone from her, but she fought back really hard, and in the end, she scratched my cheek pretty bad. She then proceeded to delete our conversation. I was stunned and shocked. She wouldn't even let me read the conversation, so something must have happened. She told me that she just went to the mall and hung out. I called bullshit, so I told her that what she did was unacceptable, and I told her she is being selfish and sketchy as hell. I left the house and haven't talked to her since last night. I just want some opinions on what to do and if what I did was okay or not. Anyways, I feel like she cheated on me, and her actions just make my conclusions more clear. Okay, we're going to address this right now. You cannot struggle with women and try to snatch things out of their hands because you feel like you're stronger than them. That is not a good way to conduct yourself, like, ever. Don't do that, okay? That's very bad. That's abusive, you know? It's going to lead to that. And I hate to be one of those people that calls abuse about every little thing, okay? You know, because sometimes you have to shake a bitch. That happens. But this kind of thing where you are snooping around, you're not trusting her, you're angry, that is not the time to get physical with someone, you know? You never get physical with someone when you're angry. You know, I mean, you shouldn't do it at all, but especially not when you're angry, because you're not thinking clear, you're going to do something you regret. And that's exactly what you did here. You know, you got yourself scratched. You got, you know, she probably hit you or whatever, you know? And, you know, anytime you have a tussle with your girlfriend, that's not good, man. And look, you're 22. She's 20 years old. It sounds like this is the kind of relationship that you learned from, you got your experience from, but you can maintain. You know, you're both too young. You know, you're looking for more stuff out there in the world. She obviously is. She's looking to reconnect with someone she knew when she was 15. So she still has a lot of lingering feelings from when she was younger and probably hasn't had a lot of opportunity to go out and date and do things like this. So take that for what it is and just understand that, you know, you guys are young. This relationship isn't working out. She's looking for something else. You're acting like an asshole about it. You know, it's probably best that you guys call it quits. And I hate to say that. I mean, hey, true love is true love. But if you don't trust each other, there's no foundation. And you cannot build a strong relationship or a loving relationship on no trust and scuffling and calling each other cheaters and things like this. So if she did anything wrong, you have completely overridden it by doing a ton of wrong shit yourself. So to answer your question, is what you did okay or not? No, it's not. I feel like she cheated on me. She probably did. And her actions just make my conclusions more clear. They do. They don't justify your actions. So, you know, learn to compose yourself better. Learn to manage your anger better. Learn to deal with people and situations better. I mean, I know love and pasiones can really drive people wild, but you cannot let them be the driver's seat for you. You have to be in control of your emotions. So you do that. You better yourself and move on. And hopefully you find a woman that you can trust more and that you can have a stronger relationship with. Okay? So thank you, Gary, for not keeping that short at all and running us right into our next musical break, which if you end up splitting with your girlfriend, will probably be perfect for you to have because it is from My Parents' Favorite Music featuring Schaefer the Dark Lord. This is Pumpkin Zone.
Idols, the toys, the stories, the movie titles, book deal, copyright agreements, the haunted house, completion, achievements, believe it in ghosts, killer life forms, possessed dolls and rogue cyborgs, blackened skulls and blood and death is cool, and everybody wants a high score. For tonight it all came back to you, to bite you in the ass, sit back and laugh at you, to hand you introduce the world to the madness, invite it to your living room, what's gonna happen is boom, we're a big old target, farthest from the end, it just started, every piece of fiction is gone, every light that was all turned on, this is it, you got what you want, did it all. Caution, a haunted, a little too late for the rest of the people. Seals broke now, bound out to evil. You take the castle, I'll take the mansion. Set your proton packs up for action. So do me a favor, never look back. Let's fight the attack. Do you see this, Mike? This is my boomstick. The moon's stuck in the sky this time, but it's worse, cause it's working together with the curse of the werewolves. Can't go through the sewers or float down there if you're not too careful. We're gonna back you. Soak up ghost hunts, goblins, bad dudes. Forget the S-Mart special. Buy one, get one, shotgun barrel. Silver bullets, douse some garlic. Bear with a hat? Nope, arson. If a statue moves, run. With the fire of a thousand suns. And four horsemen on top of the mansion. Vincent, Fred, they feel up. Craft and Stephen King, Edgar Allan Poe. Let's go, it's time to cash in. Come on. This is it, you got what you wanted. And I warned you all to caution, I haunted. It's a little too late for the rest of the people. Seals broke now, bow down to evil. You take the castle, I'll take the mansion. Set your proton packs up for action. So do me a favor, never look back. Let's fight the attack. This is our last chance. Break out the Ouija. We've got no more options. We call upon Bloody Mary, Candyman, and Beetlejuice. 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 Okay, now that's what I'm talking about. Army of darkness, zombie neighbors, predator neon, got the gravers. Lotto, brado, nicto, presto, change-o. Hello, goodbye, my name's Stevo. Enlisted to bail my bloodline, walking dead with a short runtime. My hyper beam is shooting back skittles, but only in the little fun size. Sunrise, Nosferatu, Black Lagoon, and Frankenberry. Drinking booze and spilling ooze, reanimating all the berry. In my slutty rapper costume, all loud moves are monster mashing. With choreographed dancing in our Jackson red jackets. This is it, you got what you wanted, and I warned you all to caution, I'm haunted. A little too late for the rest of the people. Seals broke now, bow down to evil. You take the castle, I'll take the mansion. Set your proton packs up for action. So do me a favor, never look back. Let's fight the attack. This is it, you got what you wanted, and I warned you all to caution, I'm haunted. A little too late for the rest of the people. Seals broke now, bow down to evil. You take the castle, I'll take the mansion. Set your proton packs up for action. So do me a favor, never look back. Look back. Let's fight the attack.
Fight. Don't you try.
You can't fight anymore.
Don't.
It's over! This is it, a new Castlevania! I warned you all, now it's time to pay up! It's a little too late for the rest of the people! The Queen of the Damned now kneel! I'll take the castle, you take the madness! Look forward to a new age of sadness! Now do me a favor, never look back! You earned this mess! Now fade to black! Now make way! For your new Dark Lord!
Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize y'all's neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hound. resist my parents' favorite music.
And that was a beautiful homage piece by my parents' favorite music, featuring Schaefer the Dark Lord, entitled Pumpkin Zone. Now, my parents' favorite music is out of Michigan, and is one of the earliest nerdcore and chiptune musicians. Steffo has been creating music for over 15 years, and is one of the coolest cats on the scene. Being joined on this track by none other than New York City's own Schaefer the Dark Lord. The self-titled rapist is, in my opinion, the creator of one of the finest pieces of music. It is on his album Mark of the Beast, and is entitled Tin Man. If you haven't heard it, it's like the most underrated song you'll ever hear. I think it's truly fantastic. It's a brilliant piece of writing, performed beautifully. So well done on that track and all of your success. You know, I've met Schaefer and Steffo. They're both fantastic, you know, and Schaefer's a very nice gentleman. I think I kind of put him off a little bit sometimes. I think the hat and the mask and all, I think, is a bit much for him at times. But he is a super nice guy. And my parents' favorite music and STD will be doing a show in Orlando at the Geekeasy on July 30th. But more about that in our upcoming events section. But for now, let's jump back into one last quick read-through of a couple more emails. Okay, so next up, we're going to go to Susan, who goes under the handle New Mom. Now, Susan says, my husband isn't attracted to me as much as he used to be anymore, and I am not sure if I should teach him about body acceptance and loving my body for what it is now, changing what his attraction is to fit my body, or if I should focus more on my working out and nutrition to get back into the shape I was before having twins. Okay, well, first of all, being pregnant with twins is definitely going to change your body in a lot of ways. You know, maybe some things are sagging that you wish weren't sagging. Maybe some things are bigger and that's better. Maybe some things are bigger and that's not so great. You know, so there's a lot of changes going on there. But keep in mind one thing, you are still the same woman that you were before. And no matter how thin you are, no matter how heavy you are, no matter how ugly you are, no matter how cute you are, you can always be sexy. Sexy is a demeanor. That's a way you conduct yourself, a way you carry yourself, a way you move, a way you look into the eyes of your partner, you know? Sexy is a way of being, and that way of being is always going to be inside you. But keep in mind that having twins and finding yourself having to run around and chase them all day, and you're tired now, and maybe you kind of look like hell, or you don't really dress like hot clothes like you used to, and things like this, they're all taking away from that sexiness. They're taking away from the demeanor that he knew you as, and you're almost changing into this different person now, you know? And that's okay, you know, you need to change to suit the needs of your children. They're important, you know? Some might say more important than satisfying your husband. I don't know, that's a debate for another day. In the meantime, what you need to think about is the fact that no one wants to date their mom. So if your husband comes home and, you know, you are wearing mom jeans and wearing mom shirt and have mom hair and no makeup and things like this, then you're losing your sex appeal. I mean, that sex appeal is within you, but now you're kind of reminding him more of his mom than of the beautiful woman that he married. So it might be wise to take a moment to talk with him about that, because, you know, maybe he's an asshole, you know, maybe he's just some shallow fuckhead and he's like, oh no, your ass is too saggy now, I don't love you anymore. You know, hey, sometimes there's shitty people out there like that. But more than likely, it's probably something about your demeanor that is maybe off-putting to him. You know, maybe he's just tired because the kids are changing the dynamic of his lifestyle as well. So don't go so far as to make some kind of assumption that he is just physically unattracted to you now. There are a lot of subtle levels that can come into play in this dynamic of introducing children and changing your body and changing your lifestyle that may be decreasing both your sex appeal, your sex life, his attitude towards you. You know, there's a number of different things at play here. So while I'm normally telling people to keep it short, I kind of wish you've written us a little bit of a longer message. So if you need more of a detailed answer, please feel free to email us at powerhouroflove@gmail.com with a bit more information, Susan, and we'll try to get that to you. But for now, remember, you are a sexy and beautiful woman, and all it takes is one night of passion to remind him of this. But before you go losing your head running around after twins, take a moment to sit back, relax, and enjoy Murray's Head by Dwayne Zuala.
Murray woke up, got out of bed. He hit the streets and then Nate took his head and he put it in a hamity sack.
Put it in a hamity sack.
Passed it to me in the back.
Yeah.
Then we headed into town at the Aloha Lounge. Met Dave, turned out he was down with the clown and he needed Murray's head for his collection. It secretly gave him an erection.
Wait, hold up, Dave, now he's gone. He dropped Murray's head in his neighbor's lawn. Now he's rolling down Heartbreak Boulevard. Seen his best friend's house and his girlfriend's car. A kick kicked him into a building. Murray was never good with children. He scared an old woman, straight killed her dead. I guess nobody likes Murray's head.
Especially Murray.
Hey there, Murray, I'm kinda curious. Why'd you go and lose your head there, maybe? Oh no, you've been kicked around. Need to pick your head.
Had a job, he would have lost it. Shit, this shit happened so often. You'd have thought his head wasn't screwed on tight, and you'd be right, but his mom double checked it for him.
Yeah.
Then his head rolled up and he bent down. He put it back on his neck and he spinned it round, getting dark outside. He thought he breathed deep, then he went inside and went to sleep.
Hey there, Murray, I'm kinda curious. Why'd you go and lose your head there, maybe? Oh no, you've been kicked around. Need to pick your head.
Well, that track certainly makes me want to pick my head up and cheer. That was Dwayne Zuala with Murray's Head, the rock version. Dwayne is famously known as one half of the dynamic duo The Adventures of Dwayne and Brando. Murray's Head is Dwayne's venture into a more hip-hop-based solo project. Dwayne and Brando will, of course, be performing during Green Jelly on August 13th at the Stillery right here in Stuart, Florida. And while that sounds like the show of shows, there are still plenty of events for you to get to in the meantime. Starting with July 16th, a Saturday, where Blind Sound, the Hotbox Band, and Deal James will be at the Stillery. This is a free show, which, hey, you can beat that. It's a 21 and over show, and it begins at 8 p.m. And let's face it, we can all use a little more Hotbox in our life. The following week, on Friday, July 22nd, Morbid Movies is at it again down in Lake Worth. They will be playing John Carpenter's classic, The Thing. It is $10 at the door, and we'll begin at 9:30 p.m., so make sure to get there early, get a good seat, and get some milk duds. Just a few days later, the Stillery will be at it again on July 27th. This is a Wednesday night, but it's a special event entitled Rocking for the Waters. Jason O'Neill Todd of Shinedown fame, the Virginia Rose Band, Stone River, and Miss E will be doing a benefit for the betterment of our waterways. This will include a silent auction. It is $7 at the door and begins at 9 p.m. So make sure to be there. Come on. You know, we're having a lot of problems with the rivers and the waters down here on the Treasure Coast. You know, all the spill-off from the Okeechobee thing, you know, the lake and everything like that. So make sure to get down there on Wednesday, July 27th, down to the Stillery, and let's show some support for our local rivers and waterways. Just a few days later, up at Sharky's in Fort Pierce, on Friday, July 29th, they're going to have the Raw Fest. They will have Sharptooth, The Pub Wreckers, KTM, and The Inverted. This is a very well-priced show at only $3. It begins at 9 p.m., and it's at a Raw Bar. So, yeah, definitely go down there and get some oysters. They're like the ultimate aphrodisiac, you know? So go down there, eyeball some beautiful women, and buy them some oysters. But in case maybe oysters aren't the thing for you, the following night, on Saturday, July 30th, Schaefer the Dark Lord and My Parents' Favorite Music will be at the GQZ in Orlando. There's no cover on this show. Now, you remember earlier when I said we'll talk about this later? Man, how awesome is that to get to see My Parents' Favorite Music and Schaefer the Dark Lord in Orlando at the GQZ for free? That's right. There's no cover. It's at 8 p.m. Saturday, July 30th. Get in there. You will have a blast. Well, that should be all the events you need to get you into the month of August and to round out our beautiful, smoking hot Florida summer. But if you need a little something to help you chill out, what can be better than a little bit of Christmas in July? courtesy of Urizen and their track Autonomy.
the flame of life, burn the tears away. Time is moving slow. Please don't make us go.
Please don't go to the sofa, darling of tomorrow.
Let us keep the beauty up today. Nothing in our way.
And that was the amazing Urizen and their track Autonomy. Urizen recently toured with Necrogoblicon back in April, but fell on some bad news as their band's bassist, Rustin, fell ill and was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. Recent news has announced that Rustin will make a triumphant return to the stage in September in Dallas, Texas. So we are all rooting for you, Rustin. I hope everything is going well with you, Senor. And I wish for you the best recovery and the best news that you could possibly get. With all the times that I have seen yours in perform live in person, nothing will outshine the day that Senor Boyle and I were headbanging in the front row at Orlando Nerdfest. And Rustin pointed out to us in the crowd and said, "These are my metalheads right here." And we were so thrilled, you know, that he spoke to us in the crowd. And, you know, he recognized that Senor Boyle at the time had this really long hair and he was headbanging with them and they were headbanging together. So, you know, we felt a real personal connection with him on stage, and we wish him nothing but the best, and we wish yours and nothing but the best. And thank you guys for all the amazing music that you've given us. And we hope that you can still give us this music for many years to come. So many blessings for you guys. And many thanks to all of the beautiful peoples out there who stuck with me tonight. And I hope all of you had as much fun as I did reading some crazy emails and listening to some awesome music. Join us again in 2 weeks when Senor Boyle returns. And until then, stay beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Things were going so great, but... what happened? Something must have happened.
It's not you. It's me.
Listen. I was thinking we should break up or whatever.
I am breaking up with you.
Consider that a divorce.